Mike went over to Thailand as a missionary after graduating from Life Bible College, and then he went and learned the Thai language. And it's one of those languages, if you have like a tone like do, and this one and this, there's three different words, same tone but different octaves or different, is it right? And I was like, my hat is off to you. But it's an incredible language, incredible people. And so I'm going to go sit down and let you go take
over. Yeah, we just, Mike and I were just chatting. We were trying to figure out how long our church and we've been partnering with you. And we both guessed around 8 years, give or take. But Nick and I met Mike back when we were in Bible college, longer than that, like maybe 16 years ago or something like that, maybe 15, something like that, I don't know. but yeah, it's been, time flies when you're having fun, I guess, because I just think it's so amazing, all the times that you guys who have come to our church for the past few years or 8 years, how many times I've stood here and told the stories that Mike and Bea have emailed, and how many times we prayed for them and supported them and partnered what God was doing. And I think it's just that amazing moment where now we're standing here and they're right in front of us, these people that we've been loving and praying for and supporting. And it's like such a celebration. So yeah, I just wanted to say thank you guys for coming. We're so excited, and just to enjoy this morning of celebration together, that we actually get to be with the ones that we've been loving. It just gives us a little taste of heaven when we're reunited with the people, brothers and sisters all over the world, where we get to be together and share in what the Lord's doing. So it's an exciting morning.
Thank you. Well, good morning, everyone. We traveled halfway across the world to be with all of you. We are from Thailand. We're missionaries under the Four Square, but we are self-supporting missionaries. So it is and has been a walk of faith each and every day. We pray for God to support and meet our needs, and God reaches out to some of you and says, hey, you know, be a part of what I'm doing, I'm meaning God, what I'm doing in Thailand. And we're so thankful for allowing us to come, join with you, worship with you, and give God the glory of everything that He is doing, not what we are doing. So to start, I would like to add on to what Emmy was saying. We did meet in Life East, and during the transition from Life East Bible College out to California Life Pacific, God had called me to be a missionary. And what did that call sound like? What did it feel like? Well, it was just as simple as a camp counselor from Romania asking me, have you ever thought about clowning in another country? And I began clowning and doing drama and puppets in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. And so all summer long, that one simple question, his name was Johnny, and he will never know the impact that one question had in my life. I couldn't get that question out of my mind. And I said, God, what are you trying to do with this question? What are you saying? Why can't I just stop thinking about clowning in another country? And he said, I'm calling you to missions. Would you be willing to go? And I answered that call to missions, went out to Life Pacific, finished my study at Life Pacific Bible College in December of 2006. I asked the Lord to pack two duffel bags, having spent time in the military over 12 years. I asked the Lord, please let me allow me to pack two duffel bags and spend 2 weeks with my family before buying a one-way ticket to Bangkok, Thailand. Since I have been in Thailand, God has blessed me with a beautiful wife. We had just celebrated 10 years together. This is my wife, Bea. And when I met my beautiful wife, God automatically blessed me with a daughter. So our oldest daughter is Beam. Our youngest daughter, Faith. And our son, Big Mac, is up playing in a room upstairs. So we're very happy to be here. Praise the Lord. One thing I want to share with you about the video that you have just seen is when I had the small black square in my hand. I was in the classroom. I was going through and talking with the children who are mostly Buddhist. We have about 95% Buddhist that are in Thailand. 2 or 3% are Muslim, and about only 2 or 3% are Christian. And we see that the same in our learning outreach center that we have. We started with 5 students, and I told the Lord two things I never want to be in life. When I was 7 years old, I was listening to a missionary, Black Buffalo, Ray Wilson Black Buffalo. And he was a missionary to the Indians. He was Indian himself. And I listened to his stories, and I was so excited to listen to his stories. But I said at that moment, and I was sitting on the first pew in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and I said at that moment, I said, Lord, one thing I never want to be is a missionary. So I said, okay, I'll jot that down and keep it for later. When I was going through high school, and my mother is here, Sally, she was the instrumental part of getting me to graduation. She can attest to the fact that what I'm saying is true. I fought with her weeks before graduation. I fought with her. I wanted to quit school. I just wanted to give up and quit school. And one thing I told God I never want to be in life is a teacher. So he put 2 and 2 together, and I would rather not be doing anything else than what God has sent me to do. In the classroom, I'm sharing the wordless story bag as we're making the video. And I did not expect this. I did not intend this. I'm sharing the wordless story back, and it goes through the different colors of sharing the gospel. And when I got to the yellow color or the gold color that you saw in the classroom, I'm holding the gold color. That was at the very end. I had shared the gospel, and I said, who wants Jesus in their life? And so you have seen, while we're making the video, children are raising their hand to receive Jesus Christ. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's why God has given us the Learning Outreach Center. It is not my ministry, it is God's ministry. And so when God sent these 4 students, 4 children, almost 10 years ago, I said, Lord, I don't want to be a teacher. I don't want to be a teacher. I don't want to teach these children. I hate teaching. And he said, well, don't worry about the teaching. Just love the children. Just love them. Don't worry about the teaching. I'll take care of the teaching. I just want you to love these 4 students, these 4 children. And I said, okay. He said, can you do that? I said, yes, I can. And so we began loving these 4 children. Well, 4 turned into 8, and 8 turned into 20, and the 40, and the 60, and 80. And 10 years later, we have over 190 students. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I am 12 years in the military, and my brain never shuts off. It's always in planning mode. And so when God says, you know, I want you to just love the students, I didn't set out to think about opening a business, creating a business. It just happened. And every time that God has opened the door and said, I just want you to walk through, you don't have to have it all figured out. Like I 100% of the time try to do. I try to figure it out and then walk through the door. And God just says, hey, are you going to walk through the door or not? You don't need to have it all figured out. I just want you to go. Are you going to go or not? And I said, yes, I'll go. Then you don't need to know anything else. Just go. Walk through the door. Just love these children. That's all I ask you to do. Just love these children who are Muslim and Buddhist. Just love them. Children who are from broken homes, children from very bad life backgrounds. They've been abused in many different ways. And God says, I just want you to love them. And I went to a Foursquare Connection several years ago when I was out in Los Angeles, and I picked up a book by Bob Goff. And Bob Goff spoke at the convention when I was there, and I had to have this book. I bought the last book available on the table, and I am so glad that God gave this book to me. And it says, love does. And just as Pastor Roger has said, love everybody always. That was the one thing I heard Bob Goff say on his Twitter account, and I've seen it pop up, and it just stuck with me. And always a daily reminder, love everybody always. Not love somebody always. That's easy to do. It's easy to pick and choose who you want to love. That's the easy thing. It's easy to love other Christians because they know the same God. They believe in the things that we believe in. It's easy to do. But then you take someone who's Muslim, who hates Jesus. In one of my classes, I've been able to teach at a local Chinese school. And little do they know, the headmaster had called me in, called my wife, and said, we have to have Mike come in here. And so I came in there, I talked with the headmaster. He said, I've only been here two months. And in those 2 months, I've heard great things about you. And parents have come up to me and said, I needed to have you in my school. I needed to have you teaching English. Again, I hate teaching English. But God says, love. And so what they see is not the ability to teach English. I believe they see the ability to love. And he said, I don't care what it takes. We have to have you at our school. And I said, wow. I said, well, we have a learning outreach center that I do teach English. Oh, great. I'll have my niece start studying with you. So they get me in the English school. I'm there to teach English, but I tell you what, when the teachers are not in the classrooms, when other people are not around, I'm in the classroom sharing the gospel at the very risk of being kicked out of the school, at the very risk of putting my life and family in danger because there are certain groups located in Massaut that have been known around the world to kill Christians. And so at the very risk of doing that, God says, share love. And share the message of who I am. So in my class, I asked, who loves Jesus? And everybody but one boy raised their hand. And at one boy, I asked, why don't you love Jesus? He said, I'm Muslim. I hate Jesus. And I said, do you not know that in your Quran, Jesus is mentioned as a good prophet? Even in your Quran, in your word, Jesus is mentioned as a good prophet. So even in your book that you have, it says Jesus is a good prophet. And he was silent. And I was praying for protection. Because that very confrontation could have put my family at great risk. Another day, I go to the Chinese school. I had a little girl in first grade. She raised her hand. I said, yes, what would you like? She said, teacher, Mike, kun pen lu kong pa chao mai. I had to think about it because I do speak Thai pretty fluently, but sometimes it catches me off guard. And she asked again, Kun pen lu kong pa chao mai? And I had to translate, are you a child of God? I looked at her, smiled, and I said, yes, I am. And she smiled back ear to ear, and she said, so am I. Door after door after door, opportunity after opportunity opens to love. I believe that these children, it's amazing what God has done. Because I go to a local Chinese school in the morning, and I go there with bag of candy, bag of school supplies, whatever I can afford. My wife gets mad at me because I spend a lot of money every week buying pencils, buying erasers, buying candy. And these kids come running towards me every morning and just can't wait for me to arrive. And they bring trash, and they throw the trash in the trash can, and they know that they will get rewarded by pencils, erasers, candy. Other teachers at the school are taking pictures of what God is doing, and they don't get it. They don't understand. Some of these teachers, they wake up in the morning, and they're, oh, I don't want to go to school. I don't want to teach these kids. God, please, oh. They don't want to go to school. They don't want to teach these kids. But I wake up every morning and I'm excited. I can't wait to get out the door to go to the school and love these children. And here these Buddhist teachers are, and they said, I don't get it. Why are you doing this? I said, because I love the kids. I love the children. And as God brings them to me, I continue to love them. Sometimes it's not about the words that you say. It's about the actions that you have. Love everybody always. In our Learning Outreach Center, I have conversations with our students. The one day I remember very clearly, as if it was yesterday, I had about three or four Muslims in the English class. And I said, I want to stop. I want to take a break from teaching English, and I want to go off to another subject. I know that you're here to teach English. I'm taking a big risk because they could have walked away and said, I'm here to learn English. I'm not here to listen to anything else. But in this class, there were about three Muslims and the rest were Buddhists. And I said, I wanted to share something on my heart. I said, lately you have been watching the media. It's all over Facebook. It was about a year ago that I remember. And it was all about hatred towards Muslims. Anybody who's Muslim, just by association, Muslims are evil. Muslims hate Christians. And Christians hate Muslims. I've seen it. I've seen Christians. I've seen religious groups just post on their Facebook how much they hate Muslims. Christians, children of God, where God says, love everybody always. Here you have people claiming to be children of God, hating Muslims. And so what do they see when they see me? What do they feel when they see me? They know that we are Christian. So in their hearts, they feel, oh, well, Mike's family is a Christian. I had one of my students, his name is Earth, and we were sitting alone. He said, Mike, I have a question for you. And he's Muslim. And he said, Mike, do you hate Muslims? I said, no. No, I don't. I love you and your family. I would die for you if that needed to happen. I said, I love you, Earth. I love your family. And in this English class, I said, look, you may see hatred. You may feel hatred from Christians, people who say they're Christian. But I tell you right now, I tell you today that if anyone says they are Christian and they hate you, that is not my God. That is not my Jesus. My God tells me to love everybody always. My God tells me to love everybody always. So if you hear anyone saying that they hate a certain group from being a Christian, they say, I'm a child of God. If they do not love you, they are not a child of God. Because my God is love, and to love everybody always. We go to the Hill Tribe now, and we give out clothes and food to the children in the Hill Tribe. And my wife talks to all the parents in our Learning Outreach Center. This Muslim family that we've been teaching, the son and now his two sisters, we've been teaching them for 5 years. Muslim family knows that we're going to go and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and give out food and clothing. This Muslim family gives us clothes and food to go to the Hill Tribe and share the gospel with these children. It's because of love. And I love this city. I love the city of Fairmont because I stood in this very place with Pastor Roger and Pastor Heather before the church moved here, before everything was fixed, before anything happened here. And he shared the vision for the city of Fairmont. And we prayed here. And we proclaim God's love over the city. And I love it because his heart is filled with God's love. Your heart is filled with God's love. And you were giving testimony over dinner last night about how God's love is moving and reaching people in this city and around this city. When you love, all walls are broken. All walls are broken. I still see hatred. But where is that hatred towards Christians coming from? I believe because for so long we have said we're children of God on one hand, but on the other hand, we love somebody always and not love everybody always. And so people they have pain. They're carrying this pain in their heart. Pain that when they went into churches before, they were shunned. They were kicked out. Oh, you're an alcoholic? Oh, I don't want you near my children. I've heard that before. Well, we can't have you in this church. I've heard that before. Oh, you're a drug addict. I'm sorry, there are programs down the street for you, but not here. I've heard that before. I've seen people look down on people by the way that they dress. Oh, they're so filthy. I don't want them near my children. Love everybody always. Love everybody always. Not somebody always, but everybody always. And so that's what God has sent us to do in Massaw, Thailand. But that's not just something that only takes place on the other side of the world. That's something that takes place wherever you are at. Each and every one of us. If we say that we are a child of God, then we need to look at ourselves. Are we loving everybody always? Or are we only loving somebody always? That's easy to do. Yeah, I catch myself doing it sometimes. I try to catch myself each and every time before it becomes and grows and puts something in my life and creates a hole for Satan to come in and work on that and churn my heart to where I'm turned against some people. Love everybody always. I did not come prepared to say all that. I had other things prepared that I wanted to share. But I believe that God has given me this word to share with all of us, not all of you, all of us, because I've learned that when I'm pointing my finger, I have three fingers pointing back at myself. So I'm not here to say, you love everybody always, and I'll just love the people I love. No, this is a message for all of us this morning. Is to love everybody always. And through love, people will come to find Jesus Christ. They will come to give their life to Jesus Christ because they will look at you and they will say, I want that. I want what you have in my life. I haven't loved everybody always. I've loved nobody always. That's easy to do. I want to share some miracles and give testimony what God has done through our youth group. When I first moved up to Massaw, I was asked to disciple the youth group. And that was every Friday. So there were 6 days of the week. I was sitting on the front porch of our house out in the country watching buffaloes walk by in the morning. And then watching the buffaloes being walked back home in the evening. I said, I am bored out of my mind. Lord, what am I here? I'm discipling the youth on Fridays, but there's 6 more days out of the week. What am I supposed to do? Well, I concentrated on learning the language and speaking Thai, because once you learn the language of a country, you can learn the culture, but once you learn the language, you find out there's a whole other part of the culture that you don't understand. And by understanding the language, that prepared me for further ministry, what God was doing, and I did not know that. And so I discipled the youth. There was one family who had an aunt, an older lady, hadn't slept in 3 years. And her family, and she was possessed. She would speak and yell out things in Chinese. She never learned Chinese a day in her life. And they recognized it as Chinese language. She was yelling this out, hadn't slept in 3 years. And so this family started, they took her to the hospital. The hospital doctors prescribed medication. Well, that didn't help. She was still possessed by this demon, being oppressed by this demon. And so the family then took her to temples, took her to monks. And they did their chants and they did everything. And the family tried to give things because you give to get in Thailand. You give to get. It's all about good karma and bad karma. So you try to outgive the bad. When something bad in your life happens, oh, you get really exhausted because you have to give and give and give and give until the bad goes away. And it's a life of just exhausting work. This family tried everything. And here this girl that was going to youth group at Massaw Foursquare, young girl, she tells her family about a place where they haven't tried before. She told them about a pastor, Pastor John, who is a former monk and has given his life to Jesus Christ. and has become the Thai National Foursquare leader, and is still the former national leader, but he's still the senior pastor of Massot Foursquare Church. He's a wonderful Thai man. I love him dearly. He said, "Well, I know the pastor. You haven't tried, but I've heard about this power of God. Maybe you can try there." And the family brings this elderly woman there and says, "You know, we have tried everything. And the pastor, John, has laid his life on the line, put everything on the line, and said, bring all your Buddhist statues, bring everything about Buddhism here, and lay it before me." And she did. The family did. And he broke all of the idols and broke everything, set fire to them. He was putting a mark on his back and his family. One person in the family was ready to call the police and have him arrested. And prayed all night long, in through the morning, over this woman. And little by little, she began to feel peace. And when I got there for Bible study in the morning, the assistant pastor ran out to meet me and said, "Hey, I just want to let you know, before you get to the Bible study, there's a woman that's demon-possessed, and she's been yelling a lot of things, and so can we gather together and pray?" I said, "Sure." So we got together and prayed, and then we started worshiping and singing worship songs. After that day, the woman who hadn't slept in 3 years, she slept like a baby for 3 days. For 3 days, the whole family sees the power of God, and they come and give their lives to Jesus Christ. Even the man who wanted to call the police and have Pastor John arrested, he too gave his life to Jesus Christ. Amen. It is when the power of God, people see the power of God. In Thailand, there is no separation between what is physical and what is spiritual. There is no separation. To walk down the street, there's a Buddhist statue. You have to bow to the Buddhist statue in order to ask permission to pass. If you're driving, you can't bow, so you honk your horn as a sign of, "Hey, I'm passing by. Please allow me to pass by." They live in fear of the spirits because there is no separation between what is physical and what is spiritual. They're taught to live in harmony with the spirits and not upset the spirits. They're taught to live in fear of the spirits. So what they didn't understand with this elderly woman, they didn't know that there was power out there, that Pastor John had prayed and we had gathered together and prayed, but it's all because the young woman who came to youth group, and she learned about the power of God. While I'm sitting at my house 6 other days wondering, "God, what are you going to do? I'm bored." That one day a week, he said, "Just be faithful to what I've called you to do." And so I was. And never knew out of that a young woman would go and tell her parents and her family. And the family would bring this woman. She would be delivered from the demonic oppression that she has been suffering from. I want to talk about another young woman I met online. And it was more than 10 years ago. I met this woman online. And I told her, you know, I sent her a message. I said, "You're beautiful. And, you know, I like to meet new people. I'm in Bangkok. I like to meet new people. So, you know, my name is Mike." Well, this woman sends a message back, and we start talking back and forth. I said, "I'm a missionary." And she says, "Oh, okay." You know, I explained what a missionary was. "I'm here to share the gospel, here to talk about Jesus Christ." Every Sunday, I invited this woman to church, and every Sunday she refused. And I said, "Okay, Lord, I don't know. She's Buddhist. I know that. She's Buddhist, so I'm not going to pursue a relationship. But I'm going to be faithful. Every Sunday, I'll invite her to church." And one day, she calls me up and she said, "Mike, my daughter's sick. And when she's sick, she's always sick for 7 days. I know my daughter. She's always sick for 7 days." And I heard that "always" ringing so loud in my ear. I said, "She's always sick for 7 days?" She said, "Yes, I know my daughter. I know my daughter. I'm her mother. I know. When I said she's sick for 7 days, she's always sick for 7 days. And I said, "Okay. Because you said it with your mouth, always sick for 7 days, always. Tomorrow your daughter will be in school. And then you'll know this is the power of the God that I serve." Well, that night I went home. I said, "Lord, what did I just do? I've heard some crazy pickup lines in my life, but this one," I said, "Lord, I don't care what may or may not happen between a relationship. If there is going to be other than a friendship, I don't care about that. What I care is I spoke about you. I told her about your power. If she is not in school the next day, everything I say about you from this time forward, she will dismiss as just nice talk. She won't believe a word I say about you. I said, God, this girl needs to be in school the next day. And so I called her, this woman, and I said, where's your daughter? Oh, she's in school. I said, that's the power of my God. And then this young woman, I'm talking about my wife, Bea, before we got married and before we had a relationship together, it was time to meet her family. And she was still Buddhist. Even after she'd seen the power of God, she was still Buddhist. And so before I met her family, she said, Mike said, I want to tell you something. I know that you're a missionary. I get that. I understand that. But my family doesn't need to know that. Okay, you don't need to broadcast that to my family. Please don't say anything to my family about, you know, you're a missionary. I said, okay, I respect that. I won't say anything to your family. And so I went to meet her family, and her family loves to cook. I mean, how many people have a day-long party? It's not just a 1 or 2 hour. A day-long, they started cooking in the morning, and it seemed like every 5 minutes I have to eat something to, you know, satisfy their hospitality. I was like, hey, eat this. I just ate 5 minutes ago. And B, before she was going to go into the kitchen and cook something, and she stopped short of going in the kitchen. Because of that, her younger sister, Lek, she goes in the kitchen. Well, the gas had been left on, but the fire had gone out. So you can imagine when she lit the fire, it was like a big fireball. And it burnt Lek from head to toe. And she was rushed off to the hospital, and I'm thinking, oh, no, this has got to be bad. I mean, I just came to meet the family. And somebody gets burned badly, so she comes back. She has bandages all over her head, her arms, her legs, all over her body where she was burned. And so before I went to sleep that night, B came into the room. She said, hey, Mike, I just want to let you know good night and everything. I said, well, before you go, I said, I want to pray for your sister. And I prayed so that she heard what I was praying. And I said, Lord, tomorrow let there be no redness. Let there be no evidence of any burn in Jesus' name. Amen. That's what I prayed, just simple prayer. And I forgot the next morning that I didn't pray that. I didn't rush out to see what had happened. I forgot all about it. I was out in front of the house helping the family clean up in the front of the house. Well, no sooner B comes running out of the house, yelling at the top of her lungs. Well, it seemed to me that she was yelling. And she said, Mike, you got to come in. You got to come in. You got to see this. Mike, you got to come in and see this. And I came in, and she told me not to say anything about Jesus. I didn't say one word. Here, a Buddhist who told me to keep my mouth shut. She tells her whole family, listen, I heard what this man prayed. This is what he said. Let there be no redness. Let there be no evidence of burn. And look, Lek had taken all her bandages off. And her husband was standing next to her. I was standing this far away from her. And I remember where the bandages were. There was no evidence, no redness. So B, being a Buddhist and telling me to keep my mouth shut, she's evangelizing to the whole family about the power of God. And the husband is just amazed because he showed me scars where he had been burned. He said, I have this, was 2 years ago. And she doesn't have any burns. Well, it doesn't stop there. I shared a little bit of the gospel and told him about the love of Jesus. I gave him a Bible, a Thai Bible, and I said, if you want to know about the God that I serve and his son, Jesus Christ, start with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That will tell you about the love of the Son of God and the love of my God. And you can start there. Her older sister has had a food business before she was shut down because we're under military rule, and they came along her street and they made her shut her business. She lost her business. But at that time, she was selling food along the street, and it supported her family. Right after this incident, after Lek was healed, the husband, who also worked for B's sister, was cooking food, and every day he would pray to the God that Mike knows. the God that Mike knows, that they would sell a lot of food. And he didn't tell anybody he was praying to the God that Mike. He just kept his mouth shut, and every morning he would pray to the God that Mike knows that they would sell a lot of food. Well, after 2 weeks go by, every day they've sold a lot of food. So B's sister just mentions out loud, she said, "You know what? Every day for the past 2 weeks, we've sold a lot of food. The whole family is still Buddhist." So the husband of Lex says, "Well, I don't know, but I was praying to the God that Mike knows that we would sell a lot of food every day for the past 2 weeks. I don't know." Well, after that, the whole family comes into church, and B says very straight to me, she says, "I'm coming to church. I'm not coming for you. I'm not coming because of you. I'm coming because I want to know you're speaking and things happen. I want to know the power of your God. That's why I'm coming to church." She sits on one side of the church. I was sitting on the other. And I said, "You know, God, whatever's going to happen, just touch her. You've already showed your power." So she gives her life to Jesus Christ. The whole family gives their life to Jesus Christ, and they all get baptized. Praise the Lord. At that moment, God said, "Now you can pursue a relationship." It had to have happened that way, because in Thailand, when you are married, whatever religion the head of the household, the husband is, that dictates the religion of the whole family. So now it's assumed that because I'm Christian, that B would be Christian. But no, she's not Christian because I'm Christian. She's Christian because she's seen the power of God in her life. And so we have the Learning Outreach Center. We're reaching out to 190 students, loving them. We go to the hill tribes, as you've seen the trucks going back in the dirt roads. We have seen many, many people come to Jesus Christ. In Massaut, you look around, and it's all surrounded by mountains. In those mountains, there are many, many, many different hill tribes. And when we come and we share the gospel, and we say, "You don't have to be afraid of the spirits. You don't have to be afraid of the spirits. You have authority available to you over the spirits, not the other way around." And when we tell people, "You don't have to be afraid of the spirits." And I shared this morning about, you know, sometimes, like myself, several weeks ago, we're here on furlough, we're visiting churches and speaking in every place that we can to share and ask for people to partner with us so that we can do more of what God wants to do. God says, "I'm expanding your ministry." Well, in that video, there were a three-part building. And that third portion, we're financing two of those. The bank won't finance a third portion. That third portion is $120,000. For the last 4 years, it's been vacant. And the owner refuses to sell at this moment. And she could change her mind and sell it anytime. But we're believing God. When he says, "I'm going to expand your ministry," we're believing God for $120,000 to expand. The learning center will be two portions, and our house will be one. Having two portions, what does that mean? Well, you can imagine 190 students coming to learn English, and they're sitting on the bottom floor. There's no place for the parents to come and sit. When God says, "I'm expanding your ministry," he wasn't talking about me. I'm already stretched out as far as possible. He's talking about my wife. God says, "I want you to love the children." We've been doing that the last 10 years. Because of that, it's been building a trust between us and the families that needed to happen before we can even reach the families. So now we're praying for a roof in front of our house, the cement and everything that needs to be done in the front of our house so that parents can begin to come and B can sit with the parents. Not only stopping there, but we're believing God for $120,000 for that third portion. We're going to break open the wall. We're going to add a restaurant for my wife's sister who lost everything. Lost everything. The military came through and said, "You have to shut everything down." 20 years of supporting her family, gone. She lost the house. She lost everything. And even though we've taken her into our house, she still doesn't have a sense of belonging or anything is mine. She lost everything. Having that restaurant that will be in that third portion, restaurant, coffee shop, ice cream shop, will not only support and enlarge my wife's ministry, being able to have a place for the parents to come, but also for her sister. not only stops there, the mothers of some of the students, they bake and do things, and we want to create an opportunity for them to be able to come and sell things to support them. Our Learning Outreach Center, God has given us. We are the lighthouse in Massaut. And what God has called us to do, not necessarily teach English, not necessarily cook food, or what, love. Love. And then when we love, we see opportunities just like my wife. She said, my daughter's always sick for 7 days. Let me tell you about the power of my God. Not me. I'm with the children. God says, I'm going to expand your ministry, talking about my wife. And so I want to share with you just as a final moment, is that whatever you're facing in your life, whatever you may be feeling beat up, run down, exhausted, one, to recognize that it is not just something physical. It's an attack from Satan. It's a spiritual attack. And when we realize that we are being attacked spiritually, everything is spiritual. We kind of shut it off, but everything is spiritual. In Thailand, there's no separation. It's easy to kind of separate everything being here in America. You can shut off God as much as you want. You can try to shut it off from it. There's nothing on the TV anymore that talks about Jesus and God. There's nothing in the public that talks about that. But it's easy to shut it off if you want to do that. But first, we need to recognize that we are being attacked spiritually. When we recognize that, then recognize we have power and authority over the spirits that are attacking us. I'm here to share with you, I was attacked 2 weeks ago, and it threw me for a loop. You can ask my mom. I was really stressed out. We had an English teacher that was supposed to teach for 3 months, and she left 2 months after that. And I said, Lord, I said, we're going to have to shut down a month. And we did. We shut down this month. And I said, Lord, what do we do now? Our Learning Outreach Center completes the ministry bills that we have to take on, not including the family bills that we have, but that just takes care of financing the building and everything that we need. And I started stressing out, and then I realized, not only my mom says, relax, breathe, but I realized, wait, this isn't physical. What I'm seeing is physical. The person having to go back home, that's physical. But what I almost missed was, no, this is a spiritual attack. And when I began to realize this is a spiritual attack, then I realized, wait a second, I have authority in me. I have the God of peace inside of me. And when I began to feel peace, we went to a church just a week ago. And the money that we needed to cover our ministry bills that we had to pay on the 1st of May, we received a check from them to cover the very dollar amount that we needed to have covered. So I give testimony to God that if you see that you are being attacked by Satan, one, if you don't know Jesus, receive him today, because Jesus not only comes with Jesus, he comes with peace, he comes with power, he comes with authority that you can then speak over the attack and say, I'm not staying down anymore. I'm standing up in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We serve the God of Roger and Heather and City Church. We're called to serve them right here.
Amen.
The people here of Fairmont. But you're called Mike's God and B's God to serve the beautiful people of Thailand. And we are so blessed that you would do that with such integrity and such beauty. And to have watched your ministry grow over these years is obvious. Incredibly obvious. Is it not, loved ones? The one we have been, is this not awesome? 190 students.
Hallelujah.
Little hands going up to receive Jesus in a video that wasn't planned.
Thank you, Jesus.
So young to be shaped by the gospel. How many of you wish you'd met Jesus when you were that little? Amen. Well, we're excited about it. Honey, pray over Mike and B, would you come up here?
Come on up.
Father, you sent Mike as a seed to Thailand. And the seed has taken root. And now the gospel is being amplified. And the branches are reaching up. And B now is becoming fruitful. And the tree or the oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, is growing. And now many are coming and coming under the shade of the work of the Spirit of God in that land. We pray now as we give that miracles increase, that the power of the gospel go forth and triumph, and great work of the Holy Spirit invade the region. We feel it coming on the world, and we say, Lord, Thailand for Jesus Christ. Thailand for Jesus Christ. Let the double portion you whispered to us earlier begin to manifest in him and be in their family and all of their ministry in the name of Jesus.